I hope you brought your Bibles with you. Have you got your Bible with you? Wow, we're going to look at quite a few scriptures today. Some of these you'll know them as I read them. Because today, the title is Gathered Around the Word. We've been doing this series that we started at the beginning of the year. It's I Will Build My Church, from Matthew 16, 18. I Will Build My Church. And we looked at what it means to be church, what it means to belong. And the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be gathered. And Tom's kicked us off with gathered to wait. Then last week, we looked at gathered to worship. And today, we're looking at gathered around the Word. Okay. And I know we've all got our mobile phones and we look at them. I've been looking at mine for a verse today as well. And they're just great because when you can't remember, you can just click on and you can get it. But there's nothing better than having the physical Bible in your hand. I've said this before, but it's been really great to see footballers going into training, going into the matches with Bibles under their arms, you know, and they've been recording, it's gone on social media, and it's just something which really positive when we've got your Bible in your hand. People see it and they know it's there. And you know, when we come together as a church, it's vital. We come together as a church not because it's something to do on a Sunday morning or we've got nothing better to do. We come together to gather because it's vital. We need each other. You need me. I need you. And fellowship together is vital. And fellowship around the Word is just beyond anything, really. It's just the most important thing that we can do, to gather around God's Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we know this verse very well. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They didn't have a physical Bible, so it was the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves, that verse there. In other words, it was top priority. It was a total commitment. If you've got a mobile phone, just turn it off, please, or put it on silent. They devoted themselves. It mattered. Nothing was going to get in the way of them meeting together and praying together. It was a way of life, and we've talked about way of life last year. We talked about a way of life, and having the Bible is part of our way of life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. Without the Word of God in our lives, we're just lost. We don't know where we're going. What path are we on without the Word of God? If we don't let God's Word guide us, then we'll end up in the wrong place. We'll end up down a cul-de-sac. If we go on our own thoughts and our own intention without following what God says, then we end up in a mess. We end up in the wrong place. We end up in a blank alley with nowhere to go. God's word is vital because that shows us the way to live. It guides us. It directs us. And we know these things. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before, but we need reminding constantly because we get casual. And I keep coming back to this. Casual Christians. There's too many of us who are casual Christians. I don't want to be a casual Christian. The Garmo and Key song, if you haven't heard it, I keep going on about it. Listen to it. I don't want to be a casual Christian. It's just no good. Casual. Take it or leave it. Doesn't work. 2 Timothy 3:16. And look, this is the 3:16 verse. There's lots of them in the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, we don't like that, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we're going to be equipped by God, we need God's word. If we're going to be corrected, if we're going to be trained, we need God's word. It's important. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Matthew 4, 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word. That's where we get our life from. Smith Wigglesworth, I've quoted him before, one of his quotes is this: read the word, consume the word until it consumes you. Believe the word and act on the word. Read the word, consume the word until it consumes you. Believe the word, act on the word. And another quote from Smith Wigglesworth: some people read their Bibles in Hebrew and some people read it in Greek. I like to read mine in the Holy Ghost. Hey, the Holy Ghost is not a term we use very much now, because it's in the authorized version of the Bible. It talks about the Holy Ghost, and it doesn't quite relate a term to in modern day, does it? It's the Holy Spirit in our modern translations, yeah? So some people read the Bibles in Hebrew, some in Greek, some in any other language you want to. I like to read mine in the Holy Spirit. Do you read your Bible in the Holy Spirit? Does God speak to you as you're reading your Bible? It's not just a dry, dusty book. How often have you been reading your Bible and something just springs off the page which you've never even noticed before? You've read the story 10 times maybe, and all of a sudden you just see a little nugget that comes off because God just sparks something through his Spirit into you. Before you read the word, it's always good to say, Lord, just open my eyes to see. And just let God speak to you through his word. And you know, as we gather together, gathered around the word, we need to expect and believe that God's going to honor his word. And he will honor his word individually for you and for me and collectively. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. The word of God is powerful, and we can use it as a sword. Use God's word. Speak God's word to yourself. Speak God's word to each other. That's why it's good when we gather, we can speak God's word to each other. You can come and testify and say, God has spoken to me this week about this. And as you share that, it just sparks something in somebody else. Yeah. It's a powerful weapon, the word of God. And as we gather together around God's word, yeah, we're encouraging each other. We're challenging each other. We don't like that rebuke. We don't like it. None of us like it, if we're being honest. But God wants to do that sometimes. He puts fingers on things. How many of you have noticed that God's put a finger on you? Have you noticed it? I've noticed it. Maybe I'm watching something on television and I'm thinking, if Jesus was sat next to me, would he be comfortable? I don't think he would. If I was reading this particular thing, would he be comfortable? And again, coming back to that, we can get a little bit casual, can't we? And sometimes God has to say, hang on a minute, whoa, stop. Hebrews 10:19. A bit of a longer passage this, but again, it's important. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, yes, we have, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain by his body, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as the habit of some is doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Gathered together is vital. Gathered together around God's word is paramount, so that we can spur each other on. We can encourage one another. I don't know if you've come in here today and you're feeling a bit, you know, got a few problems, a few issues. As you come and worship God, as you come and hear his word, it should lift you and encourage you. And if it doesn't and you need encouragement, you can ask. And we can pray for each other. We can honour one another. We can bless one another. That's why we gather together. Today, if we say, well, I don't need God's word, I can manage without it, then basically we're finished. Yeah? If I don't need God's word, if I don't read God's word, if it doesn't matter to me, then what's the point? God's word is alive. It's vital. Individually, we need God's word. Collectively, we need God's word. If the word of God is not central and foundational in this church, then we're going absolutely nowhere. This church, right, is a great church as far as I'm concerned, but it's built on the word of God, right? It's foundational. If you see a speaker speaking up here and he's just talking out of Walt Disney or I don't know another book, then I'm sorry. If it's not based on the word of God, then it doesn't belong, right? And you've got, as God's people, the right to challenge and say to us as leader, sorry, guy, what was that all about? Yeah? And we've all been in those situations, haven't we? When we've heard somebody speak, hopefully not here, and say something which is gobbledygook. Yeah? You need to know God's word. We need to get into God's word so you know the truth. Yeah? Because there's a lot of people out there speaking gobbledygook. And a lot of people are just taking it all in. We need the truth and the truth of God's word. And the truth will set you free. So many people are in bondage and trapped. The truth will set you free. It's very, very important. The word of God is central. And we read that verse in Acts chapter 2. What happened? What happened when they gathered together? When they devoted themselves together to teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread? What happened? Everyone was filled with awe. And many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. Something happened. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And my heart's cry is, Lord, do it again. Do it today. Do it today. What's different? There's no different. The Holy Spirit's the same. God's word's the same. As we seek him, as we come together, as we believe, God wants to do it again today. I want us to finish with a song. I've asked Tom to set it up for us. It's a song that you should know, but it's something that really just encouraged me this week. It's an old song, and it says this. It says, Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Our comforter, our friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts. How? As we stand on your word. That was the phrase that jumped out to me. How is God going to do all these things by Spirit? We need to stand on his word. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard. No mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven. Open it wide over your church and over our lives. I'd like us to sing this. And as we sing it, I just really want you to, either if you don't know the words, then you need to look at them. But if you know the words, close your eyes. Maybe put your hands out. I don't know. But let's just come in response and say, Lord, this is what we want. Individually, we want you to rain down in our lives. Collectively, we want you to reign over our church. We want you to come in as we stand, not on ourselves and what we believe, but as we stand on your word. So please, Tom, thanks.